Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
I thought we'd have something on the Steelers by now. It's been 5 days since the loss in Baltimore. This is usually the time where we find out about contracts that haven't been renewed. So I'm trying to figure out what's holding that up. It could be the Arthur Smith situation as they wait to see what goes on with him,
hired.
If he gets hired by the Bears or Jets, which I don't know why.
Brick Johnson, you can never count him out.
But I don't even mean that. Like,
why wait around for him?
If you don't think one of your position coaches is up for the job, regardless of what happens with Arthur Smith, why not?
Make some
cut
moves.
Them loose, yeah. Now, yeah.
Well, we know Pat Meyer's under contract for at least another year, so he ain't going anywhere.
But then what do they do here, Chris? I mean...
Well, you understand why I say that.
Yeah, because
I meant to be sarcastic and dismissive a little bit, like frustrated that there won't be a pound of flesh, at least historically, based on how they act.
I can say this, and anybody who is associated with the team and covers them would tell you the same thing. I know that they really liked the job Meyer did with last year's offensive line.
Yeah, I thought it was an above-average job, too. Like, I think that he did better than I thought he would do. I thought Broderick Jones had a solid rookie year, all things considered, like, and was on an upward trajectory.
And the center was obviously so bad with the snapping and everything else, Mason Cole, that he didn't get a look this entire NFL season.
Right.
Which goes to show you, like, that probably was Mason Cole problem and not a Pat Meyer problem.
And they probably felt like Pat Meyer helped Dan Moore along. That's why they refused to just hand the job to Jones this offseason, which is still where I think a lot of the genesis of their problems came from.
And Meyer had a lot to do with the scouting of the offensive linemen who were in last year's draft. So
they probably credit him for Frazier to an extent. You're talking about like scouting as far as,
well,
like,
yeah, put eyes on guys like Fautanu and Frazier and
McCormick.
Yeah, I mean, I think Weidel ultimately had, you know, a big say in that too. He makes the draft grades.
Do you think they probably give him some credit then for Frazier being as good as he's been, and that maybe he's not in the kind of trouble we think he should be in?
I haven't talked to anybody on this. I would guess that the Steelers don't believe or don't think Pat Meyer did a good job this year, because I think as a group, as a unit, it took a step back. But if it was good the year before and bad this year, how do they view it? I still think that Arthur Smith and Pat Meyer do not have the same vision as far as like run scheme for an offensive line. Meyer wants to coach it one way,
his system involves it another way.
Wants it coached a different way.
Yeah.
So, you know, that would be, I think, reason enough to cut the guy loose, not, you know, stop trying to stick a round peg into a square hole or whatever it is.
People, I think, know this innately, but that is just basic, like, building your coaching staff 101. You want people to line up philosophically. If your offensive coordinator's running game is a man-blocking scheme primarily, right, you don't want a zone-blocking guru as your offensive line teacher. Now, if you've got like a Munchak or a Bill Callahan who's adept at or Scarnecchia back when he was at the Patriots, you make that work because that guy can teach anything. But like otherwise, you line up.
Total spitball thing here. Munchak wants to get back into coaching. I think he's ready to do that. I think he obviously has a big amount of respect, a strong amount of respect for Arthur Smith. He helped tutor Arthur Smith when he got into coaching with Tennessee, and so they've worked together. And when Smith got the job here, Munchak was reached for comments and said very complimentary things. Is it a situation where if Arthur Smith's back, they want to move on from Meyer because they know they can get Munchak back? If Smith does leave for the Jets or Bears, well, now they can't get Munchak because he's going to go.
He's going to follow Smith.
Right. And in that situation, do they think, well, number one on our power ranking of offensive line coaches is Arthur Smith, but Pat Meyer's the next best thing. Again,
is Mike Munchak.
Yes, I'm just completely throwing that out there as a possibility. Because this has been drawn out now, where we don't have news on anybody.
And it sounds like you were truly expecting it.
Yeah, because the other thing
but
is...
Were you expecting it based on, hold on, just your quick deductive reasoning, like just, again, I'll say spitballing to use your term, because you figured there has to be something, or were you hearing things from people that suggested action
the
was coming?
The educated guess inside was that if we were going to get news on coaches being let go, it was going to happen today. Crowley, and I did not know this, but apparently he went on the air, and I think he still has some moles there from having worked for the radio network and stuff. I think he said he believed today was going to be a, quote, day of reckoning for members of the coaching staff.
Yeah, it was a day of reckoning.
A day of reckoning.
They reckoned they wouldn't do anything.
So that was his terminology and description of on what he thought was
going to happen. You know what? I'm a huge Crowley fan. It says so in my Twitter bio.
Is that right?
If you use day of reckoning, there better be reckoning, pony.
What would even constitute reckoning?
Terrell Austin gets fired. Pat Meyer gets fired. So you're at least nominally in name your defensive coordinator, and a guy via the magic of Hard Knocks we know actually does have a real role in putting together the game plan.
That's not enough reckoning.
Okay, give me a level of reckoning that is appropriate to the way that they flamed out this
year.
A
reckoning would be, like the Eagles did.
Just a house cleaning.
Go interview for these head coaching jobs, but you're done and Austin's done and we're just starting over with our top lieutenants, and we're completely rebuilding coaching staff.
Unfortunately, there's another Arthur who stands in the way of a true day of reckoning.
Right, that's why I don't think day of reckoning can really ever be applied to situations like this.
Let's have a day of deep, thought-provoking conversation with possibly a minor non-contract renewal.
And say what you will about the Steelers and the Rooneys and everything else, but the reason why I don't think it's fair for this to drag on is these guys are football coaches by trade. The longer you keep them in limbo, the harder it is for them to interview and latch on and get jobs other
places.
Common
courtesy when you have a good relationship with a guy, but it might end eventually and run its course. You let them try to land on their feet.
I mean, how much – the last game was Saturday. How much time for introspection is necessary to figure out if these coaches working underneath you are qualified enough or up for the task of working for you?
I just always assumed when Tomlin, like when he did his season ender and he said, we're early in the process of evaluating what went wrong, that's just a convenient, and I think it is a convenient way for him to dodge actually answering any questions. He can say it's too early to really get into that. I always assume a team, they're putting together, they're doing their evaluation of like a coach, right? His fitness for the job or how happy they are in real time. That's happening after week 14. That's happening after week 8. Like, you're putting the whole dossier together while the season happens.
That's happening with players. They're constantly getting
of course they are.
Evaluated as to who plays, who doesn't, who gets cut, who doesn't.
I mean, if Najee Harris
gets a helmet on Sunday,
if Najee Harris forces 300 missed tackles this year and runs for 2,600 yards, guess what? He's coming back next year. I think that it's obvious that you should feel like you have a pretty strong sense with your coaches as to what you want to do more or less like hours after the season ends. I mean, really, there's no excuse. What are you going to do? Go back and watch extra film of how games shook out and like think really hard about whether Terrell Austin deserves to have the job still?
There's that stupid expression. I think Marv Levy came up with it, or one of these guys who said the more you let the fans make the decisions, the sooner you're going to be sitting with them. Like, you can't succumb to public pressure. But let's be honest. I do think Art did that with Matt Canada. I think it became so untenable when there's fire Canada chants at every Steelers game after one possession. There's fire Canada cakes at friggin' Giant Eagle. I mean, the guy can't get a cup of coffee in this town without people looking at him side-eye because they employed that guy. I don't think that right now the level of, like, venom is as feverish as it was when Canada was coaching the offense.
I don't think
but
it's far
close,
off, though.
It's close.
I think it's just directed more at Mike Tomlin this time around.
Right, but the optics of we're really not going to do any kind of house cleaning with our coaching staff would just be so bad.
I think it's bad, for to be very clear here, more for Art Rooney than anyone.
Well, that's my argument for something happening. That's my argument for when we say things like, well, they won't pay a guy not to work. The salary cap is going up. The revenue has never been better. The game has never been healthier. He's making more money than ever before. You can pay Terrell Austin $2 million to go away. You pay players sometimes to go away.
Well,
do that with a coach,
Tony, we've
please.
Known that they can do that for a while. He pays Mike Tomlin $16 million a year and isn't getting playoff wins out of it, and he re-upped him to the degree to the tune of basically committing over 50 more million or you know 50 more million to him. He can do a lot of these things. It is a conscious choice to act that way with all the other coaches.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.